There's a large assembly this evening from places all over the country. For those of you that are not regular participants in our gatherings here, last 4 days, there have been 40, you could say, youth, teenagers, and early 20s from all over the place come together to share their Krishna conscious experiences, growing up in Krishna consciousness and exploring why it's important. Is it important? What are the obstacles in living a lifestyle of devotion to Krishna? Important decision-making period of time for persons growing up today. And we also had a gathering where we were discussing the stages of bhakti with the adults. And I think I'll speak this evening a little bit on that topic because it's appropriate. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a term that was established by our founder acharya, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada brought this message from India to the English speaking parts of the world and then all over the world, coming in a line of disciplic succession. His spiritual master had the same idea, he just gave it a different name. Vaishnava Vishva Raja Sabha. A little different than international, it's just different language, but it's the same meaning. Vaishnava Vishva, that's this world, universe. Raja Sabha, the best of association. And it's existing all over, it's like a river. Generally, a river flows on the surface of the land. Sometimes the water of a river flows below the surface of the land, but it's there. And so always there's this association of devotees, and it's brought out through the association of devotees. So he envisioned, as did the predecessor of spiritual masters before him, envisioned, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu envisioned, a world that has some portion of the population dedicated in service to Krishna. There's a verse in Bhagavad Gita, Manushanam sahasreshu kashya jatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kashyan maveti tatvataha. Out of many, 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 many persons, there may be some persons pursuing knowing who they are and becoming siddhas in self-knowledge, self-realization. And amongst those who understand Aham Brahmasmi, there may be some who then dedicate themselves to devotion to Krishna and understand Krishna in truth. Veti mam tatvata. They know Krishna in truth. Very, very special. So the vision of our disciplic succession is to create an association of such persons. And what we heard in the last several days was further explanation of one verse of Rupa Goswami, who is a follower, the next in line in disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya, about the stages of bhakti. And we heard this nice description of how bhakti begins. And very simple. Bhakti begins from associating with one who's carrying bhakti. Bhakti gives rise to bhakti. Although it's something that's within, innately, bhakti is something already there that's within, but it comes a while ago I was in Portland, Oregon, and there was, in the audience was an American Mataji, Prabhupada disciple, that shared something with me, because we had a little episode where a mother was just happy bouncing her child while the child was babbling away and babbling away and babbling away and babbling away in the middle of the class. And everyone else was looking at the scene, and she was just happily bouncing the little child. So she said, so I'm sharing this with you. During Prabhupada's time, the culture was very clear. Not a good idea to bring children into a classroom, because they're going to be children. They're going to do what children do. They're going to be playful and giggle and laugh and cry and do things that children do. So if someone had a small child, they would be by the door, and if the child started to make noise, without any cue, they would just leave. So she said, modern times, that culture is not there in our modern audience. So what she does is she just stops speaking. Until, without having to say anything, because they understand that's her, you know, that's the standard. The child can leave the room, and then when the child leaves the room, then she continues. Different culture. So, pardon me. Please excuse me for being a sannyasi. And in the future, if you see me coming to the Sunday program, inform the guests that Swami's going to do the Swami thing, so you better please excuse me. Okay, so Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami was the next in line of disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya. He was specifically empowered by Lord Chaitanya to receive the fullness of understanding of the science of bhakti and to write books expanding the science of bhakti. I say science twice because it's a science. It's from the heart, and there's a science of how bhakti unfolds. Bhakti starts with contacting bhakti, although it's already within. Just like here, we're going to, short while, light a fire. And there's some wood at the top of the fire. So, similarly to the following, in that wood, there's fire. It's not coming out, but how do you get it to come out? You put fire in touch with the wood, and the fire that's in the wood comes out. That's Sankhya philosophy. And there is fire inside, because the fire of the sun through photosynthesis or whatever the process, it's stored in the tree. And there's fire in the wood. But it's not hot, but it's there, and it comes out through contact with fire. Similarly, not only bhakti, but in the perfect stage, prema bhakti, nitya siddha, Krishna prema, Sadhutanya's teachings, shravanadi, beginning with shravana, beginning with hearing, from one who is carrying bhakti, because we're always hearing something. And if one hears that sound vibration of bhakti from one who is carrying bhakti, then it awakens the bhakti that's within. Just like the fire that's in the wood comes out. And that's how bhakti begins. Bhakti ignites bhakti. And then the stages of bhakti grow, or they can grow, from some initial stage to a maturing stage, maturing and further maturing stages. So this event this evening is one of those stages. It's a stage. Expansion or unfolding of the seed of bhakti. Bhakti lata, bija. Another nice verse spoken by Lord Chaitanya. Brahmanda, brahmite, kona bhagyavan, jeev, guru krishna prasadi by bhakti lata, bija. The seed of bhakti is received by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The seed of, in one sense, bhakti is already there, but the awakening of that seed of bhakti comes by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And Guru, the Guru function is to carry Krishna's message. Very, Prabhupada likens it to the postal peon. Purposefully he chose the word peon, knowing in English language peon isn't a flattering word. Peon means like an insignificant personality. Peon. So a postal peon is one who has a letter that's given to the post office and from somebody to another somebody, and the postal peon carries it from the somebody to the somebody it's intended for. So there's Krishna's message, there's the messenger of Krishna, the postal peon, and there's the recipient of the message. Dear part and parcel of Krishna, Krishna has a message for you. Here it is. Just open up the envelope. It's Krishna's message, stylized and personally customized for you. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up. You're asleep. You've been the original consciousness is dormant because of the sleeping condition covered by avidya, covered by forgetfulness of who you really are. And here's this knowledge of who you really are. Jeev Jago. Gaurachandra, Lord Chaitanya is calling, and through his messengers, he's calling. And so, the bhakti that's within becomes awakened in a very natural way through sound. And those that are carrying that sound are representatives of Krishna to be respected like Krishna because they're representing him. And this stage, according to the teaching of Rupa Goswami, it falls in the third stage. So, first stage is some preliminary faith, a Dao Shraddha. And then Sadhu Sangha. And Sadhu Sangha means, in simple terms, those who are representatives of Krishna, they have taken shelter of Krishna's message in Krishna's lotus feet. And they're carrying Krishna's message and they pass it on to the a Dao Shraddha person. There's an awakening of the dormant bhakti that's within. Doing with those sadhus what sadhus do. That's bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya. Activities of dedication of self to specifically the hearing and chanting process because it's their nine processes of bhakti, again a Rupa Goswami verse. Oh, exactly, it's from Srimad Bhagavatam. The first two are Shravanam Kirtanam. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing and chanting about the personality of Godhead, the source of everything. He who is our eternal shelter, and hearing and discussing topics about that supreme source of everything. That's bhajana kriya. And in the course of that bhajana kriya, there's instructions from sadhus, how to do that nicely. You know, the vidhis, the do's and the don'ts, vidhis and nishetas. Another verse that Rupa Goswami quotes. Smartavya satatam vishnur vismartavyo najatu chit. Sarva vidhi nishedhasyur etayor eva kinkara. That the all other, all vidhis, all the do's and the don'ts, they're kinkaras, they're servants of one thing. It's all for one purpose. What's that one purpose? Always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, because we forgot Krishna. And we, in Jeev Jago, wake up to remembrance of Krishna. So, the association, Sadhu Sangha, is to help us awaken our remembrance of Krishna, and the other direction, the forgetfulness of Krishna again. Just keep going to remembrance of Krishna. And this Diksha is in that third stage. Consistently, Prabhupada would describe it that way. In his translation of the verse by Rupa Goswami, he includes it. Taking shelter of a spiritual master, receiving initiation. So this, the significance of this initiation is very simple. It's a making formal that which is already there. Like, you know, you enroll in a university, you make an application to a university, and some acceptance may come. And after acceptance, you enroll in the courses, you take the courses, take the exam, and when your course of study is complete, they give you a certificate or a diploma. You've completed your study, and then you have this big graduation thing. So this is the graduation thing. That is, the submission unto Krishna is now being formally accepted by Krishna. The submission is unto Krishna. And there's representatives of Krishna that say, Krishna accepts your submission. And here's your certificate, here's your diploma. But it's not a diploma, it's a set of vows taken before Krishna, before the sadhus and the Vaishnavas, and where my commitment unto Krishna is certain vows. And in reciprocation, Krishna accepts that submission. And one is then given a spiritual name, where just like mother and father have a child, and they give a name. That name has to do with the body that was produced by the mother, the seed given by the father. And then there's a name. Male, female, name for the child, along with the family name. Then this second initiation, or Harinam initiation, one receives a name. And one is then part of Achyuta Gotra. Most of the persons here from India, so I don't have to explain Gotra. Achyuta Gotra. One becomes part of Krishna's family. That's what's happening. So, the Krishna is accepting. This is the university that gives the diploma. Now, there were professors and there's other administrators and the whole big, you know, all the activities of the university. And there may have been some outstanding professor in the course of those studies. But the, in this case, there's a person who is representing the Siptic succession, that's representing Krishna, is formally accepting the submission unto Krishna. Krishna is the deliverer of the acceptance through the medium of the representative. In spiritual life, it's important to see who's behind everything. In material consciousness, we don't see who's behind everything because we forgot Krishna. We're thinking we're the doer, and we're going to go do things. Karta aham iti manyate. It's material consciousness. And spiritual consciousness is nimitta. I am the instrument of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me do that which the Supreme Personality of Godhead wants. Let me be his instrument. We still have a role to play, but we're not the doer. We're the instrument of Krishna. And that's an essential part of Krishna consciousness. So, persons that are here from different places, by designed and also just by circumstance, because some of the young people here are from all different parts of the country to take part in this summer youth retreat, it was being called. And they're here to extend their best wishes and blessings upon the initiates, because taking vows are very important. Vows are to be considered seriously, and once taken, they're to be carried out for the rest of one's life. That's a serious thing. But it's not alone. There's a big support system, and there's Krishna's mercy. And it, as one goes further on the path of bhakti, the eagerness for Krishna's mercy. I'll just say this one last thing, and then in Madhurya Kandambani, we heard to go through this Bhajana Kriya stage, which includes initiation, and to go out on the other side, that is, the unwanted things that are within, starting with forgetfulness of Krishna, but all the other things that are appendages of forgetfulness of Krishna, unwanted things, anartha in Sanskrit, artha and anartha. So anarthas can be cleansed by that Bhajana Kriya, devotional activity. And the effectiveness of moving through that cleansing of the heart, Madhurya Kandambani says, has the intensity of intention behind the hearing and chanting activities, the Bhajana Kriya activities. So I'll say it again slowly. To go further from this stage to the more mature stage, the nishtha, steady stage, the intensity of the intention behind the activities or within the activities of shravanam kirtanam, hearing and chanting, and the other devotional activities, the intention of pleasing Krishna, the intention of making that Krishna connection vital again is the operative factor. So our initiates should be very careful to guard against further offense. We discussed these during the seminar, so you can refer again in the text of Madhurya Kandambani in so many places. The references are there. But the most important part of all of that is, one more time, the intensity of the strength of intention, because that's who we are. The intention, innate intention to please Krishna. That's us. And the more we act according to who we really are, effectively and sustained over some time, then the heart becomes cleansed. And the higher stages of bhakti can be accessed. It's just waiting to unfold. So something that I've been doing in the last, I was a little sharing. I was visiting in Houston, Texas. And Nagrahi Maharaj was there at the same time that I was, and I observed something that was really nice. There were some young people in the community who were going to receive initiation. So he had some person speak something. about those young people who were going to be initiated. And it was really nice, and I've been doing that ever since. So I'd like to spend a little bit of time, because some of you know these devotees and some of you don't know some of these devotees. So I think I'll ask Premananda, can I have the microphone, to say a few things about the three that you had mentioned. Yeah. She's got her nose. She knows these people like family.
Hare Krishna, Michael. This is Michael Jeske. Probably none of you know him because he lives in Wisconsin. In his early 20s, before he met any devotees, Michael and his friend Ramal, they had purchased some of Srila Prabhupada's books and read them. And after that, they met his grace, or His Holiness, Satsurupa Das Maharaj, and his team of devotees who were traveling through Wisconsin. So that was in 1973, and Michael was about 22 years old, around there. So he and his friend, they helped to hand out the literature. They invited the devotees to their apartment. The devotees cooked and fed them prasadam. They had kirtan, and that's how they came into Krishna consciousness. That from the very early days, they came to accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without any kind of a doubt, both of them. They used to periodically visit ISKCON Chicago at the time before we moved to Lund. That was in Evanston. So I met Michael and his wife, who is sitting there, Karen, in one of the Ratha Yatra festivals. And I came to realize that I knew Michael's friend, Ramel's wife, who was, her name was Barbara. She and myself was part of the team of Gopasundari. We used to make Kishore Kishori's dresses those days. So she used to serve at that time in Chicago Temple. So since then I have been in touch with Michael, and to get to know more about his spiritual practices and his spiritual journey. Michael and his wife Karen, they lives in a very, very quiet part of Wisconsin, and there are no devotees living there. And yet he has a strict sadhana, very systematic practice. Not sure if he would like me to tell any of these things, but because it is inspirational and I'm sharing. So he wakes up every day morning at 3 o'clock. He has a long list of prayers he chants regularly. Then he continues with his japa. And he carries on his daily work, always thinking of Krishna in no matter what he does. And he has absolutely no devotee association there. That's who Michael is. So from early days, Michael was very much attracted to Lord Nityananda. And he requested me to have a small piece of fabric touch Lord Nityananda's padugas when they came here to ISKCON Chicago. And when I gave him that, he was in tears, literally. He worships that piece of fabric every day. And then when I went to Mayapur, I collected dust from various areas where Lord Nityananda had his pastime. And when he received that, I have never seen anyone whose heart was so touched that I cannot even begin to explain to you the intensity of his emotion. So later, so he has been attending my classes on the phone for the past few years, and so I'm supposed to be his guide. But hearing his appreciation for Srimad Bhagavatam, his meticulous spiritual practices, his conscientious behavior, his humility and simplicity of heart, I feel that it is my greatest privilege to have met him in this lifetime. I don't consider myself as his guide at all. I'm very fortunate to have known him. And he's always thinking of Krishna no matter what he does. And to have such a devotee in my life, I feel greatly blessed. I'm so happy to be here, Michael, today, that to see you take Harinama Diksha from Maharaj and to get connected with the Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition. I'm extremely happy. And also, Michael is so appreciative of Guru Maharaj. He met him initially in one of the Ratha Yatra festivals, and there was a little pastime that took place, not going, he kind of accidentally burned Maharaja's clothes. And Maharaj has given him so much special mercy that he will be always, he reminds me about that, how he feels so bad that it happened like that, and he's so apologetic about it. He replaced Maharaja's clothes and all that. But that's who and I want to thank Karen, Michael's wife, who is so supportive of his spiritual practices. Because as we all know, you know, if our partners in life don't support, it's very tough to practice Krishna consciousness. And she's so wonderful, sweet.
You've gone way over your time. Give me the microphone.
That's all I can say.
I'll call on you later. That's why she has the name Premananda. She can't help herself. Trying to think who's going to be short now. Would you like to speak something about Swati? You give this.
Hi, Krishna. I'm really happy that you're taking this step today. I still remember the first time I met Swati. It was back in 2014, right? Right here downstairs during prasadam time after the Sunday feast. And it was a very casual conversation. But we felt there was a connection. And I just mentioned to her, would you like to join a systematic, you know, program of study? And, you know, she said, yeah, I would be interested. But then I thought, you know, she would never call back after that. She took my number and, you know, I'll think about it. I think I would be interested. And I was surprised. 1 week later, she called me and she said, I would like to come to your program. And she came and she participated in the journey of self-discovery. And by the end of it, she was like ready to do sadhana. She was like, okay, tell me, what do I need to do? I know who I am. I know who's God now. What do I need to do? What is the daily practice? So since then, she's been such an inspiration for me personally in terms of how quickly she took up to the process of sadhana in a very regulated way, waking up early morning and so on. And another little thing I'll share is, I remember sitting outside one day and she was crying to me saying, this was after like maybe 6 months or something like that. She was crying to me and saying, I don't think I can continue in this process because I can't cook. And she was like, you know, my mom stays with me and my mom cooks every day and I don't think I can offer food. I can't cook. I don't know how I'm going to make progress. I said, don't worry, one step at a time. And little time passed and all the circumstances changed. Somehow mom stopped coming as much and she didn't have a choice and she had to cook. And now she cooks for programs and she cooks for her Guru Maharaj and so on. So anyway, she's been such an inspiration for me in terms of her determination and strong sadhana, and she's gone through many challenges, but her faith and determination have not wavered, and very glad that she's taking this step today. Shatrupa's mother. Yes, I have known Shatrupa's mother pretty much as long as I've known Shatrupa, but I can't say that I knew her very closely, because she was always a very quiet person. She would come to our place, she would participate in the classes and stuff, and I would try very hard to connect to her, but she would speak very little. But then each time when she would come back from India, like she would come with this, just like this face, countenance of so much gratitude, like she's receiving so much, and she's been chanting 16 rounds for many, many years. I think the most I connected with her was during last year in Vrindavan, when both of them stayed with me for 3 weeks, actually. And every day she would go to the temple, spend like 2-3 hours. She was very fond of attending Rajbhog Arati. And it would take her like literally 20-25 minutes to walk from MVT to the temple, or even more sometimes. But she would like make it one step at a time. And each day when she would come back home, she had like such joy and bliss. And every day she would come back with some maha item from the deities. Somehow the pujari would give her some maha item, and then she would come and give it to me. It was just amazing to watch her each day. And then, of course, because it was Kartik time, and then she would make that walk again in the evening and go light the ghee lamp in that crowded place where you kind of get automatically pushed in and pushed out from the temple room. But by the end of the whole Vrindavan trip, she was completely sold out, like just totally sold out. And then after that, you know, we spoke about initiation, and then she took ISKCON disciple course in Mayapur. Amazing. And she passed it and did well, and here she is taking the step and just feeling very, very grateful.
Microphone. We're going to give Premananda another chance here. You're going to speak about these?
These two.
Yes.
This is going to be brief. Otherwise, Maharaj will tell me to walk out of here. So we have Surekha sitting here, and everybody knows Surekha, so I need not introduce her. Surekha came across with the devotees in 2007 in Detroit, and then she moved to Naperville in 2009, and I met her in 2011. That's about 9 years now. I noticed from the very, very beginning that she was so eager to make progress in her spiritual life, very eager to attend Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and always eager to improve her spiritual practices. She met with a lot of personal challenges in the middle of all these things. She has got two wonderful young girls. I think they are somewhere here. And she, in the middle of all those challenges, she is trying to bring them up as great Vaishnavis. And a lot of credit goes to her patience and tolerance and persistence. In spite of all the challenges, she decided to stay being a devotee and make systematic progress in her spiritual life. She does reception service here, and also she does cooking in the kitchen. She assists Dhananjaya Pandit Prabhu whenever he needs help. And so she's a wonderful devotee, and I wish her all the best in her spiritual life. And I met Riddhi in 2013. Everybody knows Riddhi here, right? That is Riddhi. And I met her one weekend, and she introduced me to her son, and she was asking about services that we offer here at the temple. And within 1 week, some great disaster struck in her life also. Great challenging situation. I don't think any average person would have been able to meet with that. But the most wonderful thing about her was she stood very firm. She didn't cave in into that situation. She worked very hard. She had never worked in the outside world. But she rose up to the occasion. She found a job to support her family, her child. That was her priority. Simultaneously, she took up the chanting process, and she slowly and steadily, even though there were so many ups and downs, she is stabilizing herself and moving forward. She has a great interest in doing deity worship, and she went and took training at New Vrindavan also recently. And I deeply appreciate her strong determination, unwavering determination in practice, practicing Krishna consciousness, and I wish her all the best in her spiritual life.
Who is going to speak on your behalf? Call. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. We have been known Maruti Mataji for 4 years, and she's very sincere, and mood of service is very prominent right from the beginning. She has been very enthusiastic, and whoever were part of Bhakti Vriksha has actually inspired and brought them all to our Bhakti Vriksha, all those people. And she was actually distributing, going around Prabhupada's books, and she used to invite them for the programs. And if she's in the temple kitchen, she just serves. She doesn't even bother about her food or anything. That mood of service is really amazing. And one particular thing, the family members, Prabhuji or the daughters, they were not very supportive, but still she continued with faith in Krishna and devotees taking the guidance. And now they're at least coming to the stage of favorable. So that's really amazing thing. And I'm very, very happy and honored to be in this position to be able to extend whatever we have been receiving, myself and Vrindavan Prabhu. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
The second initiate's in the back, and we're not going to have that same eulogy going on for them. This has become quite a ritual, like the evening's almost over. We'll begin over here with Swati, then like this. So Swati, you come forward and offer obeisances before the deities and spiritual master. While we're waiting, some time ago I had an inspiration, and her son, Rohan, is really, really good at mridanga playing. That's his fan club over there. So I was mridanga playing, so I arranged a gift for him, a mridanga from Vrindavan. That would be given at the time of Swati's initiation, so here it is. Your mother gets beads and you get a mridanga. Thank you. And you both get Krishna. That's the... Okay, so... Long awaited, and your good husband here supporting you all the way. Go team, go. Go team, go. Okay, so, your vows, initiation vows. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Minimum 69. Okay, she forgot. And the four rules that you follow. Okay. And you'll carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yeah. Your initiated name is Govinda Mohini Devi Dasi.
Govinda Mohini Devi Dasi Mata Ki Jai.
This is the name of Radharani. You can come pay your obeisances. Riti? Pay obeisances and will, who alone can attract Krishna. That's the meaning. Dasi. Servant of Radharani. Govinda Mohini. Oh, this is for me. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Minimum 16. The rules that you'll follow? There we go. Okay. And you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings during the rest of your life. Initiated name is Kalpataru Devi Dasi.
Kalpataru Devi Dasi Mata Ki Jai.
In the spiritual world, there is everything, including trees. And the trees can provide everything, Prabhupada would like to say. Trees in this world that are fruit-bearing, they can produce only one kind of fruit during season. But the Kalpataru can produce unlimited kinds of fruit of any kind in any season, and not just fruit, but anything at all. That's the spiritual world. And those that are servants of those in the spiritual world. Your daughters are your cheerleading section over here. So, how many rounds you'll chant every day? And the rules that you'll follow? Okay. Very good. She's volunteering. I don't even have to ask. Initiated name is Bhakti Priya Devi Dasi.
Bhakti Priya Devi Dasi Mata Ki Jai.
The name doesn't need an explanation. Whenever she's introduced, included in this next sentence is her service attitude is just amazing. Jiva Goswami says that's entrance into the spiritual world. At the beginning and at the entrance into the spiritual world. So, may you reach there in this life. Okay, the four rules that you'll follow, put it in different order. Okay. And how many rounds you'll chant for the rest of your life? Okay, minimum. And you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings, yeah? Initiated name is Gopali Devidasi.
Gopali Devidasi Mata Ki Jai.
Gopali is one of the confidential gopis. Would you like to? In Radharani's assembly, Gopali. She walks slowly, but she's strong. I'm sitting in the chair. We're almost the same height. And you, we both need to sit in chairs. Okay. How many rounds you'll chant every day? Minimum 60. And the four rules that you follow. And for the rest of your life, you'll carefully take shelter of Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Yes? Okay. Initiated name is Daivi Shakti Devi Dasi.
Daivi Shakti Devi Dasi Mata Ki Jai.
Come forward, pay obeisances before the deities. The amount of grains that they have is it purposely a small amount? So we don't scatter it all over the floor, or is that the idea? When it gets to the grain portion, you have to be really skimpy because there aren't too many. There she is with her camera, ready to take the picture. The big moment. Happy day. So, your vows, how many rounds you'll chant every day on your beads? Minimum 16. And the rules that you follow. Very good. And you'll continue to carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Indeed I will. Okay. Initiated name is Madhu Kanta Das.
Madhu Kanta Prabhu Ki Jai.
The meaning of the name, you can have a seat. Okay. There's several meanings. There's a book written by Jiva Goswami called Gopal Champu. And in Gopal Champu, there is a narration of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan by two of Narada's disciples, one of whom is Madhu Kanta. So he's the speaker of Krishna's Braja pastimes in Gopal Champu. And Bhanu Swami has a very good translation of Gopal Champu. In Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Madhu Kanta is the name of a singer amongst the cowherd boys. Different cowherd boys have different expertises, and his expertise is he sings very, very nicely. And in Lord Chaitanya's Leela, Madhukanta is Mukunda Datta. So you can learn about those personalities, your namesake. Okay, so now we're ready for the yagya.